I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. By the way, you smartasses out there, because I said
I saw that.
In the series in Cleveland, I guess I should have said each game was decided by two runs or less, but instead I said one run or less. You know exactly what I mean. They were all three close games. The Astros had the lead in at least two of them, but then we've got to have Johnny Tough Guy on Twitter jumping on in. So, okay, you win. How about that?
Yeah, no one knows what you're talking about, but somebody tweeted you and said, how do you decide a baseball game by less than a run?
Because I, instead of saying two runs or less, I said each game was decided by one run. They were tight games, okay? Okay, got that out of the way. I feel so much better. Eric Graham, way to go. You're intelligent. You win.
Yo, Joe, you're so salty today.
I am.
Why are you so salty?
I don't know, because I saw you walk in the door fired up, and I decided I'm joining the club today.
You were getting on the 80?
I'm on the 80 bandwagon today, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I dig it.
And one thing I wanted to say before we got off the NBA topic, because I don't know if we'll get back to it, but last night is living proof, aside from the Greg Popovich world, that good coaching can really come in handy in the postseason. Because if you look at the plays that Brad Stevens drew up down the stretch, and everybody's going to look at just the last play, but look at like the final minute and a half of the game and any chance he had to draw up a play and execute some things. I'm telling you what, he knew exactly what he was doing. And the shot that he freed, and what I liked too was after the game, he didn't even want to talk about the play he drew up, which was a great deceptive play because it looked like the pick was coming into the corner. And all the action, as they like to call it, was going to be centered off the corner, and the Cavs bit. So they ran the pick, and the guy that used the pick in the corner dove to the basket, and both Cavs thought that's where the play was going, and they both dropped down and followed the guys to the basket, and it set Bradley up wide open on the wing. And then he didn't even want to talk about that. He said, you know what I like? He goes, the reason why that play worked in my mind was the ball bounced around the rim for a long time, and it ran the clock out. He goes, because I know with a timeout, and a couple seconds on the clock, we might have still been in trouble. I like that.
Yeah.
I like Brad Stevens. He is, he came from a small school at Butler, but he is a damn good coach.
Is he top five coach in the NBA right now for you?
Well, I have to think about that. I mean, Pop's obviously one. I think Rick Carlisle in most circles, people would say, is up there in the top five.
Kerr?
He inherited quite a bunch. I mean, he's come a long way in a short period of time, but I'm not one of those guys that's going to anoint someone that was an ex-player a couple of years ago and a general manager, so I'm not going to go that far, just like I wouldn't put Kevin McHale on that list. And I wouldn't go Tyronn Lue.
Thibodeau?
Tibbs is up there for sure, yes.
Okay,
So Carlisle, Tibbs, and Pop, and then the other two, I tell you what.
Casey?
Nope, not a big fan. I don't think he runs enough off structure.
And you said no to Tyronn Lue.
Right, I did.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Anyone that puts him in the top five just needs to be slapped.
No Jason Kidd, no Billy Donovan. Scotty Brooks has gotten better, but I don't know that I'd put him up there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I'd have to look at the list of teams. But who, I mean, is he in your top five?
I think so, yeah.
I think he's got to, in
there. Just based off of what he's done. And, you know, him and Ainge both have really built a solid team. But just even what he was getting out of this team a few years ago, when they didn't, they weren't where they are now, but they were still threatening. And people were like, you got to watch this Boston team. They're going to be good once they get some maturity in the other. But he was already coaching them up and getting way more out of them than I think most other coaches that come, you know, roll through the NBA in a couple of years would have. So, yeah, I think so. And I think he doesn't get included in the top five just because he is so young.
Well, also,
and he's only been around for what? This is his fourth year?
Yeah, give Ainge more credit. When he knew he was rebuilding this team with a bunch of youth, he picked the exact right guy to kind of groom them along the way. So I give Danny credit. But yeah, I mean, again, I'd have to go team by team and look at it. But just off the top of my head, I don't see any reason why Brad Stevens wouldn't be right there in that mix.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because I feel like he gets some love, but I don't think he gets enough for what the job that he does.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at just I'm not a big Stan Van Gundy guy.
No.
Steve Clifford's good. Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn, young, not there yet. Fred Hoiberg, good college coach, not a pro. Just up and down the list, I think he's definitely in that list. I think Quinn Snyder at Utah is a good up and coming young coach as well. Learned under the Krzyzewski tree.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So, but yeah, definitely I would put Brad Stevens up there.
Yeah, if you look at Stevens' first 4 years in the league, his first year, they went 25-57. They finished fourth in the Atlantic. His second year, they went 40-42. So they went from a winning 30% of their games to almost 49 in 1 year, or after his first year, lost in the first round. They went up to 48-34, lost in the first round. And now this year, they're 53-29.
I would put Terry Stotts of Portland somewhere up there close, too.
Man, listen to his winning percentages in his first 4 years.
You're talking about Stevens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
30%, 30.5.
Okay.
48.8, 58.5, 64.6.
Whew.
That's badass.
Yep.
That's legit coaching going
Forgot
on.
Forgot one.
Who?
Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
I put Spoelstra in the top five.
Do you?
So I put Spoelstra and Stevens.
He did a hell of a job this year. He did what you know, you've seen from Brad Stevens going on in Boston.
Yep.
He's kind of doing that with Miami. So, yeah, that's probably a good call.
Yeah, I'd put Spo up there in the top five. And then for all you people that have already had your dose of Kool-Aid for today, I'm not putting Mike D'Antoni in the top five. And it's only been 1 year.
And, offensively, he might be the top offensive-minded coach in the NBA.
Correct.
Just overall, though. He's just half of the equation. That's the problem.
I completely agree.
When you look at Kerr, like, you know, you were talking about this with Kerr's system, because I didn't want to give Kerr nearly enough credit for the fact that I think anyone could coach the Golden State Warriors and win, and that's happening right now in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you said it's the system that he's put in place, and I'll give you that.
Yep.
But to that point, it's a more well-rounded system. They play defense, and that's partly on him, too. But D'Antoni's just like, he had to hire a dude. That's how little he cares or knows about defense.
He looks like a genius now because he hired that guy, but it looked coming in like, there's my scapegoat. Like, they won't fire me first if I have a guy solely responsible for their biggest shortcoming.
Yeah.
It just worked out.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, and like I said, but just watching the replay and then being able to go back and kind of, you hear some of the audio and you see the play. When they ran the replay, I don't know how many people will actually look at it, but you look off the ball where the first screen happened. And that to me was like, that's genius. Because we talk about in a 7-game series how much film study goes on. They know your tendencies in plays you draw up out of timeouts. They have an idea like how many plays, literally in like an analytic system that when they look at tape, they'll calculate and say, hey, coming out of a timeout, this meant the percentage of them running something on the left side with the screen coming off the wing and the screener coming from the elbow is like 63%. They'll do all of that. He literally looked like he drew up that play and it was completely something the Cavs were not expecting because they bit so hard on the first screen and roll in the corner.
Yeah. Somebody else had a good point too. The coach out of the Hawks coach, Budenholzer.
Budenholzer's under the pop tree.
His first 4 years. Is it Budenholzer or Budenholzer?
It's Budenholzer.
Budenholzer. Yeah. He's got a 57.6 winning percent in his first 4 years, which is better than Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and that's a tough deal because you always get quality in Atlanta, but just not enough to be.
Yeah,
a contender.
His second year, he got into the conference finals.
Yeah.
Pretty legit. Maybe I have to slide him into the top five. I don't know. That makes it tougher now.
you know, he's so, in that. He's kind of in that second tier with Terry Stotts. I think Quinn Snyder's on his way there, but I think that I would put Steven Spoelstra, Tibbs, Carlisle, and Pop.
Carmona's Nestor Carmona's bitching about AJ Hinch. We may have to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have feelings on Hinch?
I'm good with him, but I was telling you in the break, I happened to catch CSN New England had their two announcers literally almost come to blows on the air because they were trying to tear apart John Farrell, the manager of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, it's a good thing that people in Houston don't do that. And then I saw Nestor's question today. So we can break it down. Again, right. It's only been one series. But I think he's also pushed a lot of right buttons, but we can talk about that in a whole lot more. If you want to chime in and you want to be a part of this, please feel free. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I said chime in. HRNP listener line where you can text or you can call or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Barry, you've got feedback from others, but you'll get feedback from the best as Lisa is with her trainer right now, who's
a
pro-certified competitive. She has her pro card.
Nice.
Competitive, so she's going to be getting you some. We'll try and pass it along.
Am I taking a bunch of junk?
They're looking at it.
Oh, okay.
So we'll let you know.
Okay.
And, of course, you were not immune to the Eric Graham day since I got it for each game decided by one run or less.
Uh-huh.
He sent a picture of David Fizdale and said, "Where does Barry fit on the list?" So Eric
I'm a hell
Graham
of a coach.
On fire. Yep.
I am a hell of a coach, Mr. Graham.
Yep.
And I'm not black, sir. And I don't look like that. I don't feel like I don't. I will admit it. Like when people say I look like MC Search, I totally get that.
Yep, I see that.
I totally get it. I do look a lot like MC Search. But enough people have said it that, okay, I guess I have to roll with it. But I just don't see it. Is it just because of the glasses? Because there's a ton of people that wear glasses. So you can't just say,
well, I'm looking at that
just
picture.
Because, like, I don't have a goatee like that. My goatee has never been that full. Like, I don't have I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I look at that picture and I think, first of all, the first thing I see is the goatee. The second thing is he kind of lets his hair go from time to time to get it really thick, and you normally keep it pretty tight. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't either, but I mean, enough people have said it that I really can't fight the feeling, you know?
Well, but Eric Graham he's battling DJ Khaled, so it, you know, whatever.
Did you say he looks like DJ Khaled?
Yeah.
I gotta look now.
And by the way, that's not his bald head. That's a hat on backwards.
Yeah, at first I thought it was he's kind of got that Jim the Anvil Neidhart look.
Well, you went there.
Yeah, doesn't he? A little bit. Yeah, okay. I dig it.
I thought he was bald with a white T tattooed on his forehead for a minute.
No, it's a Tennessee hat, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I dig it. All right, so where do you stand on this? Because Nestor seems to be up in arms, Mr. Nestor Carmona, tweeting about AJ Hinch and how he thinks he's a bad manager. He says he mismanages the bullpen and the lineups, never see him try to manufacture runs. I think the talent carries him. When it comes down to manager versus manager, he's outmatched. You agree with that?
Now, I've said to you before the season even started, I like him as a manager. I like the kind of chemistry he keeps in the locker room. I think the players respect him. I've always had an issue. If I have any issue with AJ Hinch, I start with his decision to never bunt. With less than two outs and a runner on first base in a one-run game, he's always relying on putting a couple hits together, and he rarely, if ever, bunts a guy to second base to put him in scoring position, and it drives me crazy. I mean, maybe that's traditionalist baseball, but
it is. It's old school.
But that is the one thing that has always chapped my ass a little bit about his managing. But I said to Nestor, I said, look, for every hit and for every miss, there's several hits. Look at early in the season when Marwin was supposed to be your backup, and he kept putting him in the lineup along with Aoki. Aoki was leading the league in putouts from the outfield and also was contributing at key times. But you can't second guess what Marwin has done for this team when he was not penciled in to be a starter. 9 bombs, 20-some ribbies. you know, big hits in big situations. I mean, he's pressed a lot of the right buttons, too.
Yeah, he has. I think people are questioning whether... I heard someone on the radio saying, why don't we see more Jake Mariznick? You don't want to see more Jake Mariznick. Trust me on that.
Right. Look at his numbers last year at the plate.
Yeah, you don't want to see more Jake Mariznick. Okay, first of all, on the bunt thing, I'm glad he doesn't sack bunt. That is definitely an old school method of managing. It's giving up an out. It's if you subscribe to today's baseball, the three true outcomes and giving up outs to advance a runner, just statistically it doesn't make sense anymore. And that team isn't designed for that. This team wasn't put together to sack bunt.
So remember now, I said that before the season started, and mm-hmm. I was basing it on last year when the bottom half of your lineup was literally hit or miss, and there was a lot more misses than hits. So with that lineup, you got a bunt because it was rare that from 5 through 9, you were going to get 2 hits in an inning.
Yeah.
That's where and again, I am old school, so I'm always big on bunting over, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, You look at this team's average, for example, and let me pull this up because what's crazy to me is if you were to take this team and look and compare it, you know, per player versus, there were guys that were barely hitting 200 on this team that were starters. Jason Castro, mm-hmm. Chris Carter. These were two positions on this team where if they were to hit 210 to 220, you'd be ecstatic. You'd be like, oh, wow, these guys are really picking it up.
Even like Valbuena. Valbuena was a hit or miss, like a Chris Carter type. Valbuena would go yard or he'd strike out.
All or nothing. Yep. And right now, you know, George Springer carries one of the worst batting averages on the team at 245. 245 is one of the worst batting averages on this team. I'll take that.
Yep.
You know, it's because this team was designed to keep the line moving. They don't give up the outs. They keep the line moving. They get hits. I mean, you know, you look at guys like Aoki, which I wasn't impressed with the signing, but yeah, he's struggling right now. We knew that some of these guys were going to struggle. These are all guys that are getting on base. I mean, that's their job up and down that lineup. So I think overall, when it comes to AJ Hinz, I don't have a problem with what he does. And I think he's a fine manager because I think when it comes to a baseball manager, more than a football coach, more than a basketball coach, but a baseball manager's job is to manage the team at a macro level. Baseball managers don't necessarily micromanage. They manage the attitude of the team. They manage, there's situational stuff in games. But the problem is you can't call a play in baseball.
Right.
Yes, you can call a pickoff. Yes, you can call for a steal or whatever. You're going to have very little, because even if you call for a steal, Altuve, you need to go to second on this. There's one out. Let's move you to second. You still have to have a guy who's might get a hit 27% of the time. Because you can forget that 30. That's going to be the up. There's only one guy on this team hitting 300 right now, and that's Altuve. So a guy that's going to, it's going to be successful 27% of the time. So you're taking that, there's very little to the manager. I once heard a guy, and I forget who it was. I wish I could give him credit. But on the radio, I once heard a guy say that a baseball manager can affect the outcome of about a game to 2 games a year, where they have a direct impact on whether their team wins or loses. The manager.
I would think that I would go higher than that simply when you get a Francona, when you get guys that like Joe Torre back in the day, when you really knew, especially in an extra inning game or again, and in the National League, it's more difficult because you're juggling.
So let's say five games a year out of 162. There's no way that these managers are having a direct impact on 30, 40, 50 games a year. There's
Nestor,
just no
Nestor
way.
Wants to know why hasn't he used the hit and run more? And when is the last time you saw him use it? Now, I thought right away yesterday when Springer got doubled off of first, but that really wasn't a hit and run. That was just a shot that Springer thought was going to the gap and was going to get down.
There's nothing that stands out to me where I'm like, oh, that was a bad decision on his part. I guess I can't speak to why he doesn't hit and run because I'm not paying attention to that. I mean, I'm looking at Does he leave a guy in too long? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about pinch hitting in the American League very often. You know, it's pretty basic concepts when you when you're filling out a lineup. Is there a lefty or a righty, and who's hot? Sometimes you write the hot hand.
And you say, what, does he leave him in too long? The only one that I That's think it. You could actually point a finger to was the game where Keuchel was rolling through eight,
yeah,
and just gave up a couple of duck snorts and some unfortunate bounces, and the next thing you know, he should have got the win there, and they ended up getting he got the no decision, and the game went to extra innings. Other than that, I really don't know that he had a lot of bad decisions with the hook.
Yeah, and what fascinates me about this as I'm as you're sitting there saying that, I'm sitting there thinking is, and Nestor, you know I love you to death, but dude, you're talking about the best team in baseball, and you're upset at the manager. Like,
that's nitpicking.
Yeah, I get it. If this team right now is struggling to reach 500 and they're fourth in the division. This is the best team in baseball. What don't you like that A.J. Hinch is doing? What is he doing wrong? That's what I'm saying. I don't notice. Nothing is standing out to me. Where I'm watching the game going, well, that was a dumb managerial move.
Well, that's why I asked him. Because you could be the Red Sox. You could have the payroll the Red Sox have. You could have all that money tied up into a third or fourth place team. And then have a lot of legitimate beefs to go at the fact that, it again, even in Boston, it's just because everything is like hyped up 100 times. But it's still early there, too, and they still got a boatload of talent, and David Price hasn't even took the mound yet for them.
Yeah. Somebody texted the show and said boo-boo story. I guess I'm going to have to tell this again.
Did you tell it on Sunday?
I told it on Sunday. I guess I need to tell it again.
All right. All right, right now I want to tell you guys about Infuse Energy. They are a great energy company here in the Houston area, and it's perfect for you because unlike other energy companies that are big and important and you have to call and get through an automated system and it frustrates you and it takes up a lot of time and energy, no pun intended, Infuse Energy is all about you, the customer. They will make sure you talk to a human being. The human being will then ask you questions to identify the best program for you, and they will make sure that you get 100% honesty. You get a program that fits you or your business or your family, and you make sure you never feel like you're getting confused or screwed over or deceived or they try and trick you. This is not how Infuse does business. Josh Pesikoff and his staff here in Houston make sure that they tailor make a program for you, and they do it with all your needs at the top of the list. 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732 or infuseenergy.com. You can mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and please rest assured they use 100% green energy. It's at your fingertips. You sign up and you choose a green plan. That offsets your electricity use. You get renewable energy credits, and that also helps decrease your carbon footprint. They are all about making sure that your customer service and your experience overall is 100% satisfactory, if not better. InfuseEnergy.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, Usual Suspects, right here at the halfway point. This boo-boo story has a life of its own. And I guess I missed it this weekend, but I saw you had tweeted about it.
It does have a life of its own. I told it yesterday, and I thought that would be the end of it, but a couple of people have hit me up. Either have heard about it or when I hear it again, I have no idea. But I know there's a lot of people that don't listen on Sundays that listen during the week.
Shame.
Ooh. So, yeah, plenty. And vice versa. There are people that listen on Sundays that I'm guessing don't listen during the week. I don't know. All right. So this is what happened. And it was very, very strange. I'll just start off by saying that. So Friday after the show, I was going to go down to the joke joint and do a guest set. So I didn't want to drive all the way back to Spring and then drive down to Fuquay and 45 South. Just didn't make sense. So I was going to stick around here. So I hung out. I did Nick's podcast, which was a lot of fun. You guys should go check it out. Where can they hear the podcast, Nick?
iTunes. Just search Producer Nick Podcast. Okay. Appreciate it.
Yep. So we did the podcast. And then I was hungry and I was bored. So I decided I would go to the mall. So I went to the mall, and I got me some chilies. Had me a little sirloin, 6-ounce sirloin, some mashed taters and broccoli. Healthy meal. Which, by the way, the lady that brought me the steak also brought me A1, so apparently I look like a communist. Eating A1 sauce on a steak. If you do that, you can go to hell. That's not appropriate for this country. Anyways, so I just killing time, just walking around the mall. And then I have to boo-boo. Okay? So I decide I'm on the far end of the mall, and I see Macy's. And I'm like, all right, logic kicks in. And I'm like, well, no one ever boo-boos at Macy's. No one ever goes to the bathroom in Macy's. So this is probably the best opportunity to boo-boo, is going to Macy's. So I go to Macy's. And I walk in, and I'm looking for the signs, and I see the restrooms this way sign, and I start walking towards the restrooms, and I notice this guy in front of me, and he kind of looks back at me. I was like, whatever. We're walking a little further. He looks back again. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. Maybe there's someone behind me that he's looking for. Walking a little further, he looks again. Keeps looking over his shoulder at me. I'm like, well, this is weird. And then I kind of get towards the restroom, and I notice, well, this is the women's restroom, not the men's restroom. So I've headed towards the wrong restroom. Well, this guy veers off to the right, and I'm not even paying attention to him. I just happen to notice that. I then kind of circle back around. I see where the men's restroom arrow is pointing, and I walk that way. Lo and behold, this guy is standing out by that area, and he sees me coming, and he makes eye contact again, turns around and starts walking in the general direction that I'm walking, which is towards the restroom. He walks a little further. He looks back. I'm like, what is going on with this dude? This is so weird. And my first thought, Joel, as arrogant as this sounds, is I wonder maybe if he recognizes me, because it's happened before. I've had people, like, I've been pumping gas, and a guy comes up, hey, are you Barry Lamnack from, yeah, I actually, and I had an ESPN shirt on, so maybe that was the giveaway, right? But I have had a couple of times in 4 years someone recognized me, and one time was from comedy, so it doesn't happen a lot. But I thought maybe that's what's going on. I'm trying to rationalize this in my head, because I'm thinking there's no way this dude is just checking me out as I walk around Macy's. So I get a lot closer to the bathroom, and now I'm like, why is this dude going into the bathroom as well? And he's walking towards the door. He hits the door, and as he pushes the door in, he looks back again.
I'm not going in, man.
And makes eye contact with me. And I thought, wow, this is really strange, but I got a boo-boo, so I don't care. It's whatevs.
Were you at the point of no return?
Oh, yeah. No, I had to go. All right. So I go in the bathroom, and first of all, there's way more people in a Macy's bathroom than there needs to be. There should not be this much activity, this much traffic in a Macy's bathroom. Like, what? Who's doing this besides me? I know why I'm here. What are all these people doing in Macy's that have to go to the bathroom at the same time? It's way too much traffic. But then I noticed that the dude that's eyeing me as I'm walking around, he goes straight to the sink and starts washing his hands. Which was also suspect. But I was like, whatever. Maybe his hands are dirty. I don't know. I don't know this guy. I don't know what life he lives. So I go into the restroom and into the stall. And I proceed to build my bird's nest, as I always do. And the 7-8 layers of toilet paper and the toilet tissue things that are, you know, whatever those are. I build that bird's nest, that sanctuary, that zone of protection. Always double up front, by the way. That's the nasty part. Always up front there. You need to pile it on. That's where you got to really get thick with it. So.
Then don't you just pee over the edge?
No, you just pile it up. You got to trust me on this. So I'm handling my business. All right. I'm handling my business and I'm on my phone. By the way, never borrow my phone. I'm on my phone. I'm minding my own business. I'm doing my thing. And I notice that it gets quiet in the restroom. The traffic has dissipated. There are no more people in the restroom. Or so I thought, Joel, because I'm sitting there handling my business on my phone, minding my own business, dead silence, and I see a shoe come up under the door. I just noticed the one, though, but I see a shoe come up under the door, and I peer up over my phone thinking, huh, that's strange. There's three other stalls that I know the doors are open. And then I look up, and this dude is looking through the crack, peeping at me. And I just screamed out, hey, man, what the f-? Like, I just yelled, and he goes, I'm sorry, and takes off running. So there's a guy out here peeping in on people pooping. And I don't understand why you would do that on a Friday night. Why on a Friday night are you going into Macy's bathroom to spy on a dude taking a dump?
Well, it wasn't random.
Like, why not go to the club if you're trying to pick up a dude?
Friday night, this is what he does. He stalked his prey.
That makes no sense.
He found the victim that he was looking for.
I guess.
I think if you'd have gone into the women's room, he was going in too.
Dude. That's just
weird.
That's the creepiest thing. Who spies on someone while they boo-boo? Who's doing that? Like, how is that even remotely like, oh, yeah, look at that guy taking a dump. Like, what?
Did you hear Nick chime in there?
No.
Of course you didn't, because now Nick's hobby has been exposed.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever had happen to me in my whole life. I've never experienced anything like that.
Why did you, Nick, this is the second time you heard this?
Yeah, it's the second time. I heard it on Sunday, so. Yeah.
But it's...
That's just...
It's, I can't even fathom, like, I told my wife the story because I was like, you'll never, and then, so I can't get up because I want to just grab this dude by the neck and start punching him in the face, but I'm boo-booing, like, I'm not done yet.
So by the time you're done, he's gone.
Yeah, so I try to hurry, because you can't really hurry, boo-boo, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, it's right. In control.
Right.
But I as quickly as I can, I get up, and I still wash my hands because I'm not nasty.
Okay.
All right, I
but
might
like,
be.
What would you have said? Like, did you think about what
I would have said? Yo, what the hell?
Why are you watching me?
I would have cursed a lot.
I would have said that. I'd have started with, "How long? Why are you watching me?" For like,
no,
see, that's just awkward.
I would have just said, "What the hell?" I would have said a lot of curse words and then punched him in the face. That's what I would have done. He was like mid-20s,
kind of even worse,
unassuming looking. Yeah, it wasn't like a creepy old dude. But I was just like, yeah. So then I immediately, you know, as fast as I can, I wash my hands. I get out. He's gone. I walk around the Macy's. I don't see him. But, oh. And then, you know, my wife's first question was, well, was he taking pictures? And then I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just know I looked up. I see the shoe. I look up. And he's got his eye on the door. Like, his face is up to it. Just looking through the crack.
It's hilarious. Look for pictures circling around of Barry on a can.
Of me taking a crap
in a Macy's. In his hand.
Yeah, in a Macy's somewhere.
Just sitting on a bird's nest. Isn't that how George Michael got arrested?
Just killing it on Candy Crush. Minding my own business.
Wasn't that how George Michael got arrested?
I don't know. I think he was actually doing something.
Under
I don't think he
stall,
was just boo-booing. I think
under
he was,
the stall, if the foot comes under the stall, no?
Dude, is that what it was?
I think it, I thought.
The foot
think,
under the stall?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he might have been the starter of that, because you mentioned that yesterday, too.
Yeah, that, there was a congressman that was arrested that was the thing, is like you put your foot under the stall, and it literally just dawned on me that
I think George
the
Michael
foot
was
under the stall
in Beverly Hills. There's a park by the Beverly Hills or Beverly Wilshire, one of those hotels, and I think, because Lisa was telling me she's from California, and when we stayed at the Beverly Wilshire when the Rockets were in the Western Conference Finals, she goes, you know, right down that park right out where you out your window, that's where George Michael got nailed for the foot under the, I think it was the foot under the stall.
Hilarious.
I was so pissed. I couldn't even tell you. And then my wife's like, well, do you feel like violated? No, I feel mad. I don't feel violated. I'm taking a dump. I'm not, like, other than being slightly vulnerable, because if he would have just kicked the door in and started fighting me, you know, I'd been like, well.
Your pants around your ankle.
Other than that thought, I mean, like. No, I don't feel violated. I feel mad.
Don't you feel like a sex symbol because he was
no,
he was stalking
I don't
you?
Feel like a sex symbol.
Come on, he wanted you.
But who's trying to pick up dudes in the toilet on a Friday? Go to a club. There are hundreds of gay clubs if that's your thing. Why not go to one?
For every
but who's walking around going, all right, you know what? I'm gonna find a dude tonight. Let me see. Who looks like they have to crap right now? What?
For every Yogi Bear, there's a boo-boo.
Not to make it seem like the whole looking through the crap, the crack is that, you know, creepy, but the fact that he followed you to the bathroom.
Ahead
to me,
of me, which is the weirdest.
Makes it way more creepy.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, too, and someone was describing this the other day on the news or something, saying, like, there's a logical reason why that crack in the door is so wide. No, it shouldn't be. They say, well, it's so that you can identify that there's someone in there by looking. No, BS. Then you can see that there's feet underneath or pants bundled up underneath. What you can look, everybody kind of looks down on the floor to see if there's shoes under. Like you said,
how about just
no
the
one
door?
Needs to be doing the Jack Nicholson here's Johnny looking through the crack in the stall.
Well, yeah, and if you and if it was if he was there to just to boo boo and he wasn't sure, then he would have just said my bad and went to the next stall. He yells, "I'm sorry," and runs out. Oh, no,
so weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird.
That happened. That's a real thing.
You're a George Michael like sex symbol now.
That's why they need those bathrooms like they do on the third floor, which is disrespectful that we don't have it on the fourth floor. But how the wall goes all the way down.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? The wall goes all the way down. There's no cracks in the doors, and as you lock it, it says occupied. Then you know.
Done.
That's it. Problem solved. We can put a man on the moon, but I gotta watch some creeper watch me crap. I don't get it.
It's hilarious.
That's the boo boo story, Joel.
Okay,
that's the life I live.
There it is, the life of a sex symbol. All right, we got plenty more show to get to. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, usual suspects. We continue to roll on. Got a call waiting to get in here on the boo-boo story. Glenn wants to tell you what he would have done. Glenn, what's up?
This has got to be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it's nasty, but it's funny. You know, all kind of people have poop fetishes. They have feet fetishes. They have all this. Well, I tell you what, does he want to see poop that bad? I would have jumped out of that goddamn bathroom. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Oh, no. Glenn, we got to cut you, bro. You can't. Oh, Glenn. Oh, my man. We got a pretty firm rule that if you cuss, you got to come back the next day. Damn it, I bet that was going to be good. I liked Glenn's. I liked his style.
He just had a good tone to him.
Yeah, he did.
I was a little worried about it because when we were on the phone, he did drop the S-bomb. But I was like, this guy, he said he listens to Fred and AJ. He loves the show.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, this is hilarious. So I really want to get in
Glenn,
on it.
Glenn, yeah, dude.
Next time, Glenn.
Yeah, dude. I'm sorry, bud. I'm sorry you cursed, but oh, yeah. There's a lot of feedback. Trust me. I knew this story would be. Most people are saying that he wanted to pick you up. Yeah, I know. That's the weird part. But why do it? There's a difference if you just come up to me and you're like, "Hey, what's up, man? I think you're hot, and I'd like to have some gay sex with you." I'd be like, "Ah, no, I don't do that." That'd be it. But you follow me where I'm boo-booing? That's a whole different thing. It's a whole different level. And he's right. I know there are different types of fetishes, but a boo-boo fetish is something that
I don't understand. Think it had to do with the manufacturer of the boo-boo. I don't think it had anything to do with the boo-boo itself.
I don't understand the whole boo-boo fetish to begin with, though. Some things I get, I guess. Body parts, okay, I get it. Feet. I know a guy who was into belly buttons. Like, that was his big turn-on, was belly buttons. Okay, that's fine. That's you. You do you. All right, I'm not going to judge you, but poop?
Yeah, I don't get that.
That's a whole different level of weird for me anyway. That's, ugh. There's dudes that like when chicks fart. What?
Come on.
That's a thing, Joel. That's a real thing. Look,
never.
Yes.
Never.
There was this thing, I forget, was it called fart cakes? Where these chicks would sit on a cake and fart. I'm not even making this up.
Come on.
I know it sounds like I am. That's a real thing. Google fart cakes, Nick, right now. Google it. Google fart cakes on the work computer. Google fart cakes, Nick. This is for work. This is for the radio. Google it. Google it right now.
He's not going to do it.
He's like, I don't have to Google it. Bookmarks.
Man, that's just like I knew.
Fartcakes.com. .delicious.
I know a guy that is obsessed with feet, women's feet, and then I saw firsthand, not on myself personally, but I saw a middle-aged woman that had a foot fetish that always wanted to rub no other contact, just wanted to rub men's feet.
A woman?
Yeah.
Weird,
weird, weird.
First of all, a dude with a foot fetish for women, is fine because women's feet aren't as nasty as dudes' feet. How a woman could ever have a foot fetish for a guy?
And I agree with that logic. But I have heard of that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not sure about it either.
That doesn't bother me, though. Feet, belly buttons, elbows, arms, I don't care. That's fine. That's how you... But poop is and farts is a whole... That's a different level.
That's a whole different level. You're right, but let me put this in perspective for you, too. The woman that I'm referring to, right, always wanted to, dreamed of, wanted... It was a priority to rub NBA players' feet. Think about...
And those are the worst.
That's where I'm going.
Oh, my God.
Think about that. From, like, that is... You are punishing your feet daily. So, like, calluses and you know, cracks and fungus and whatever, gross. Right? You want to rub down those bad boys? Ugh.
That's so disgusting.
Man,
I don't understand that.
Pick up after your pets without a bag.
I don't understand that. I don't get that. But still, yeah, the whole you do need to Google though. You're going to look that up.
Keith wants to get in here on your story as well.
Keith, what's up, man?
Hey guys. Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, feet disgusting. No way. I could never do that. And second of all, I know that you were at the end, so to speak, but. If I see somebody eyeing me as I'm walking to the bathroom, there's no way. I will find a different bathroom. I can't have anybody looking at me as I'm on my way.
But I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was weird. Like I said, dude, honestly, because this has never happened to me. So I'm trying to process what's going on. In your mind, if you don't know what's going on and you're not, I'm just like, this guy's acting strange. And then as I'm getting to the restroom, I think, well, maybe he recognizes me. Maybe that's what it is. That's the only thing I could think of, because I would in a million years my mind doesn't go to, hey, this guy wants to watch me boo boo. Like, no, that's not a thought that I have. I don't think like that.
Well, but here's the thing too. That's why I asked
you.
You know
what this guy looks like? He looks like he can enjoy a good crap watching. That's what he looks like. What?
No. I asked, like, did you have a scared turtle poking at the back door? Because if you can't put the brakes on and you know it's now or never time, you're going in. But other than that, the minute that same dude showed up and he went in the bathroom first, that's why I had to ask you, like, how bad did you have to go? Because I'd be like, I'm out, man. I am not going in there, because that just...
I'm telling you, just call it being naive, but I'm like, well, I'm thinking it's weird, but I'm not thinking that it's going to escalate. I'm not thinking that this dude is going to end up, you know, peeping in on me pooping.
Because by the time Paul Blark shows up...
Wow, there was no... This was going to be vigilante justice if I ever got my hands on him. There was no way I was waiting on a mall cop or anybody else. I was just going to beat that dude's ass if I got my hands on him. But he was gone by at least 3 minutes.
Moral of the story.
Yeah, don't poop at Macy's. That's the moral of the story.
No, 175 pounds is overrated, because the popularity that you're bringing to yourself could bring bodily harm and boo-boo stalkers. I'm just
so
telling you.
Weird.
It's something you got to be very mindful of.
Look, JT said that I miss how you ended up in Forever 21. It was Macy's. It wasn't Forever 21, sir. their jeans don't fit me anyways.
But they were white. All right, so Terry, Ben, we see you. We'll get to you. We got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show if you want to join in. Like Terry and Ben, 713-780-ESPN. If the HRNP listener line is your thing for texts or calls, or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.